my soul's been anchored in the Lord. I tell you, what a beautiful message, choir, you have provided. And that beautiful lilting voice that went up and up and up. Praise God. My soul's been anchored in the Lord. Actually, brothers and sisters, you know, it's 25 minutes to one. We've experienced worship, haven't we? We could go home. But I have a few things to say out of the Word of God. But that message leads right into it. My soul's been anchored in the Lord and His Word. I want to thank the Berean Seventh-day Adventist Church and its pastor, Pastor Freddie Russell. Thank you, Pastor, for opening your pulpit to me today and to all of us who are here, visitors from far and near, members of the Adventist Theological Society whom you are hosting. And thank you for doing that. Church, we appreciate that very much. There are professional meetings taking place in Atlanta for theologians or Bible scholars, and the Adventist Theological Society is taking an opportunity to worship with you, and thank you for that great privilege. I am really impressed with Berean Seventh-day Adventist Church. I want to thank the Lord for what He is doing through you in, as I understand it, and Pastor Russell was sharing with me, that this is probably the second largest non-institutional Seventh-day Adventist church in the world. However, there's a little caveat to that, because, you know, last night we were at an institution, and the institution is the Greater Atlanta Adventist Academy, and they hosted a lovely banquet for many of these scholars. I'm very impressed, Pastor Winston, with what God has done in this portion of your territory of South Atlantic. We praise God for the wonderful emphasis on Christian education. And I was so impressed with that baby dedication. You know, after that, the sermon was preached. The tender touch of helping parents to know that Karen, and wasn't she precious? She didn't flinch, she didn't cry, she just observed everything. To help those young parents to understand that a quiet, dignified, non-artificial life is what God intends for children to have. And not only children, but adults as well. One of these days, soon, we will be in the land of heaven where there will be no more artificial anything. Everything will be real. And what a day that will be. But thank you, Berean Seventh-day Adventist Church, for what you're doing in Atlanta, a great city. It brought back memories for Nancy and for me to... Actually, we're staying in the hotel downtown where we stayed at the General Conference session 5.5 years ago. Thank you, Atlanta, for hosting us at that time, the World Church. And I want to bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters, almost 19 million brothers and sisters around the world. What a great privilege it is to be part of God's family. And that was stressed by Pastor Winston this morning. We may have some differences of opinion on certain things, but we are united in God's great fundamentals of truth found in Scripture and in the proclamation of the three angels' messages telling people that Jesus is coming soon. And what a wonderful opportunity of being part of the Advent movement. The Adventist Theological Society, and some of you may not be acquainted with it, is one of those organizations that lifts up God's Word. It helps people worldwide to understand the need to spend time in God's Word. You know, you sang that beautiful song, "My Jesus, I Love Thee." It all emanates, it all comes from an understanding, a personal relationship with the Word. And the living Word, Jesus Christ. So thank you, Adventist Theological Society, for what you are doing to help people to go back to the Word of God. The sure Word of God. Now before I go into the message, and I may have to abbreviate it a little bit, but we'll see how time goes on here. I would like to pay special mention to three individuals. Three individuals who I saw this morning. Now, there are many people in the audience that I know. Many people that I appreciate. We can't mention everyone. So I'm going to reserve this for those who are truly our patriarchs and our matriarchs, people who have gone before us, people who have opened the way. My brothers and sisters here in Berean, never forget to say thank you to those who have prepared the way. To those who are older, who sometimes may feel just a little bit off to the sidelines. You know, we're involved in lots of different things. This morning we had a dynamic Sabbath school. We had testimonies. We had opportunity to hear from many young people and older ones. But those individuals who are now in their very last years of God's service, actually, I believe that Jesus is coming very soon, don't you? And I'm hoping that soon the Lord will come and no one will pass away. But time keeps moving on. This morning I had the great privilege of visiting for a few moments with Sister Henry. Sister Henry, you and your husband have been great and wonderful leaders in God's church. I want to thank you for that. And I praise God that you at 93 years old, I think it is, are living a happy and wonderful life. And you'll be in a few days with your son Dunbar and give him special greetings. It was a privilege to meet your daughter here also. Also, I received a number of materials this morning from a gentleman who I know must be at least 93 as well, if not 94, Dr. Richard Totras. Dr. Totras, there you are. Now, I know what his age must be because he was 1 year behind my father at Pacific Union College. And that means you're about 94 at least. 98. Well, we honor you, Dr. Totras, and we thank God for giving you so many years of life. And one of these days soon, when the Lord returns, my father passed away a few years ago, but you'll have a great reunion with him. In fact, he even made a Xerox copy here of his annual from Pacific Union College with my father writing a note to him. And when I saw the handwriting, it just hit my heart because I know my dad's handwriting. And another gentleman that I want to just thank the Lord for, and that is Dr. Oliver from Huntsville. A wonderful gentleman. He and his wife visited us in Africa when we were there. There he is. We're just a great privilege to be with you. You know, thank you to these folks who have paved the way ahead of us for the preaching of God's Word. One of the biggest battles we're going to be facing and are facing is over the authority of the Word of God. The devil has always hated God's Word, and he does everything he can to neutralize this precious book and the living out of the principles of this book in your life. Now, we have a very interesting group of people here today, as scholars, as pastors, as church members, as church leaders. Our sacred responsibility in these last days before Earth's history comes to a close is to protect, lift up, promote, and preach the life-saving power of the sure Word of God. I want to urge you here in Berean Seventh-day Adventist Church to do just that. You know, the world around us is falling apart. We see that in Paris, Sharm el-Sheikh, where I was at about a year and a half ago, and that airliner came down. In Yalo, Nigeria, terrible destruction that took place, taking many lives just a few days ago. And now in Bamako, Mali. Bamako's a rather nice city on the Niger River. I've been there at least two times. Terrible destruction of life taking place. People are distraught about security and personal safety. In fact, I love that prayer at the very beginning of our worship experience today, when the prayer said, speaking to God, "The checklist has been filled. The animals are going on board the ark." I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, we are not living in normal, usual days. We are living in the very end of time. Yes, we can say, okay, we've always had disasters, we've had world wars. Let me tell you, there has never been a time, in my opinion, when governments have been so powerless to accomplish their goals. When people seem to be in such disarray in terms of true moral principle. When there seems to be an uneasiness because of the economic situation, which is really a house of cards, so to speak. When everything could collapse. People wonder what terrible event is going to take place even during normal activity coming up. Literally millions of migrants as we speak, hundreds of thousands are trying to escape brutality and uncertainty of ruthlessness and total confusion. In fact, I might tell you the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Europe is trying to help many of those migrants. Pray for our people as they try and reach out to those who are in great need. You see, the unknown has become the enemy. Life has become uncertain and unclear, not only for migrants and those who are the recipients, the victims of terrible calamity, but also for every one of us. People don't think the world around them is going in the right direction. And they are right. We're living in the end of time according to Seventh-day Adventist prophetic interpretation and correct hermeneutical application to Scripture. We understand where we are at the end of time. What is needed is not a political or a military or a social solution, but a return to the true and sure foundation, God's sure Word. You see, Peter shared some tremendous encouragement about certainty in God, and it was found, is found, in that which was read so nicely from our scripture reading in 2 Peter. And as you look at 2 Peter in verse 15, we understand that it is important that that Peter wanted people to have a clear picture of the big picture and the assurance of salvation through Christ's life and grace. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. You see, Peter knew he was headed towards his death. Verse 16, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. This morning a song was sung about majesty. Truly, when we get to heaven and we see the very form and the face of God, which no one can see at this moment without dying, when we see God, we will truly understand what it means to be in the presence of majesty. In this age of uncertainty, God's word and instruction is true and faithful. Verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Peter affirms the word through an audible and visual personal account. How personal today is your affirmation of Christ's work in your own heart? Verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed. Now that's the New King James. In the King James it says, a more sure word of prophecy. The sure word. Peter goes on to say, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. Let me tell you, my friends, there are a lot of dark places in this world. A lot of dark places in Atlanta. There are a lot of dark places in our hearts. Let the Word of God shine into those dark places. The confirmed Word, or the sure Word of God, has always been a light shining in a dark place. And even more today, on November 21, right here in Atlanta. The Word of God, it is authoritative. It is our handbook for living, not just something to put on a living room table, to put by your bedside, or even to study for scholarly purposes. It is God's sure word for your heart and for mine. Peter goes on to say in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. People have always needed a foundation. The sure word of prophecy is something you can count on. It is needed today more than ever before, and will be the only source of comfort and hope for the future, since it points to the gospel message. My Jesus, I love thee. Jesus, the gospel, Christ, his righteousness, his salvation, his ministry in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary for you and for me, and his final redemption of his people at his second coming. The Bible provides the only hope for the future. It is our enormous privilege to share it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And what a privilege to hear the Word of God, to listen to its instruction, to understand its directives for living the victorious life in Christ, justifying and sanctifying us through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. However, I want to tell you, the Word of God is being ignored more and more. It is becoming fashionable to misinterpret and misapply what is plainly written in the Word of God. It is being reinterpreted by those who participate in the higher criticism or historical critical approach to Scripture. By those who, for whatever reason, and I personally can't understand it, place themselves above the very power and authority of this word. They interpret things according to their own standards and their own approaches. I want to tell you, as Seventh-day Adventists, we are to faithfully follow and promote what is called the historical biblical approach, line upon line, verse upon verse. Let the Bible interpret itself. As Seventh-day Adventists, we should carefully adhere to the document voted October 12, 1986, at the annual council in Rio de Janeiro. I was just in Rio just Tuesday, I guess it was. And many years ago, 1986, when annual council met there, they voted a document called Methods of Bible Study, carefully outlining how to study God's Word and to follow the historicist view of prophecy and biblical understanding. So pastors, teachers, leaders, church members, elders, don't let anyone turn you from the historicist understanding and the historical biblical interpretation of Scripture. Stand firm for God's Word. Now note the following instruction about accepting the Bible as it reads from Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 171. And there are many, many references. I have a whole long list, but I'll give you one. God requires more of His followers than many realize. If we would not build our hopes of heaven upon a false foundation, we must accept the Bible as it reads and believe that the Lord means what He says. When He says, as we repeat it, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, do that. When He says, behold, I come quickly, it means it. Let's believe what the Bible says. As we face the last days of Earth's history, we know there will be a determined effort on the part of Satan to destroy the effectiveness of the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. We see the neutralization of God's authoritative word all around us. The historical critical method applied to the Word of God reduces its effectiveness as authoritative. It is Satan's plan to undermine God's plain, thus saith the Lord. We've seen and are seeing determined efforts on the part of individuals motivated by Satan to attack the spirit of prophecy and make it of, as Ellen White said, of none effect. The Word of God and the Spirit of prophecy are both products of heavenly inspiration and are thus accurate accounts describing the great controversy between good and evil, between Christ and Satan. This is why the devil is absolutely determined to destroy the truth found in the Bible and the Spirit of prophecy. And let me just mention, we do not place the spirit of prophecy as part of the canon or the Bible. It is a light, a lesser light to lead back to the Bible. But nevertheless, I believe with all of my heart, the inspiration of what God has provided in Scripture and the spirit of prophecy comes from the same source of inspiration. May the Bible and the spirit of prophecy be foundations for each of you. Thankfully, the devil will not succeed in destroying God's holy word. However, in the process, there are a lot of people who are going to be deceived. And God is asking you today to be a light and a witness for the power of God in your life. He's given us a mandate to be defenders of God's word because it's been shown to be true and it changes people's lives. God will bless you as you live out this faith. We heard a testimony this morning in Sabbath school. God will provide a way to open before you when you face challenges and difficulties. God's word is sure. God is calling the Seventh-day Adventist Church for a unique last-day purpose. Its mission is to participate in the greatest proclamation we have ever known. This is a church that was initiated by God Himself at the right time, in the right place, and for the right reason. To fulfill Revelation 12:17, a people who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Let's commit ourselves to following God's instruction in His precious Holy Word and the Spirit of prophecy. To daily walking with Him in Bible study and prayer. To understanding, to understand what it means to be revived and reformed in Him. To have that revival and reformation affect you, your family, your church, and your community. You see, the Adventist Theological Society's professional meetings have been focusing upon marriage and the family. And this afternoon, whenever we get to those meetings, scheduled for 2 o'clock, they're going to have some very fascinating seminars that you can choose from. And I hope many of you will come back to be able to be part of it. You see, the answers to the dilemmas facing families are found in the sure Word of God. The dilemmas of this world tell us that we are at the edge of eternity. God wants to work in and through us. Take this call from God personally and seriously as we expand the vital outreach of mission to the cities, right here in Atlanta, all over the world, accompanied by comprehensive health ministry. Thank you, Berean Seventh-day Adventist Church, for helping homeless people. Thank you for what you're going to do tomorrow and in the future. Thank you for what you're going to do on Thanksgiving Day. May God bless you as you reach out with these initiatives within the Reach the World strategy and evangelistic outreach of God's Holy Word. Let me expand for just a few moments on three areas of focus for our world church. Christ and His righteousness. Recognize the centrality of Christ's grace and sacrifice for us. The righteousness that provides us with eternal life. Let's commit ourselves at the end of time here to lift up Christ, His love, His word, His righteousness, His sanctuary service, His saving power in the great controversy, His seventh-day Sabbath, His prophetic messages, His spirit of prophecy instruction, His three angels' messages, His health message, His last-day mission to the world, and His soon second coming. Let me tell you the very core, the very heart of the three angels' messages of Revelation 14. It is not doom and despair. It is not destruction. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is pointing people back to the true worship of God. Secondly, faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to Him as our Redeemer and Creator. He has been faithful to us. Let's be faithful to Him. Faithful to His Word. Faithful in our personal relationship with Him. Faithful in daily Bible study. Faithful in the study of the Spirit of prophecy. Faithful in our constant prayer life. The Lord tells us, be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. Thirdly, total member involvement in witnessing and evangelism. Matthew 9:37-38 challenges us with the truth that the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. I want to challenge all of you as lay members in Berean, and those of you who are watching through internet or through whatever medium, I want to challenge you to become more involved in the daily mission of the church than you ever have been before. Pastors and lay members are to work together in a united manner. God is counting upon you. Evangelism is the lifeblood of the church. All of us are to be involved in it, either through personal witnessing, small group evangelism, public evangelism, community service, or whatever format. Adapt your methods. The Lord will bless your efforts. Do something for Jesus. Every effort under God's guidance to reach the hearts of people will bear fruit. Evangelism is not dead. It is alive more than ever before. God is in it. It is His plan. He will bless it. The devil knows that if he can get God's people to look to themselves and their own opinions and their own problems instead of looking to Christ and outward, then he will succeed. By God's grace, look to service for God and look to Christ, and he will give you a great victory. You see, the Lord has called us to stay close to the Word of God. I hold in my hand my Bible. It's a very special book. You may have many versions of the Bible, as I do. I love this book. It happens to be the New King James Version. It's underlined, cross-referenced, marked with many notes and treasure. A number of years ago, I had a well-used and well-loved King James Version. It got ruined by water in a small airplane in the country of Congo. I was able to get another one, and for a number of years enjoyed that one, but I lost that one about 6 years ago in the country of South Africa. I got this one, and this one, this very Bible, has been lost 2 times, and the Lord has restored it to me. I praise God because I love my Bible. It's my friend. You probably had similar experiences. We don't believe in bibliolatry. We don't worship this book. We worship the living Word, Jesus Christ. And He is the Word. So the book itself is not what's really important. It's what's in the book. It tells about Jesus. During our stay in Russia, we had the privilege of living in the Euro-Asia division for about 3 years in Moscow. I remember how many people appreciated and respected the wonderful privilege of just holding a Bible. A few days ago, in the South American division in Brasilia, I was there for their year-end meeting, heard marvelous stories and experiences. And at that meeting, I received a very unique Bible. It is a Bible that is waterproof. And it was used by, and they showed the picture of this pastor who is a surfer and wanted to bring more surfers to the Lord. And he's out there on his surfboard with his Bible and friends around him. I want to tell you, use whatever Bible you have and bring people to the Lord. Seventh-day Adventists have long treasured the Bible and been known as people of the book. We have a prophetic understanding that we will be part of God's last day church, people of the book. However, in this age of relativism and existentialism with no absolutes, are we still known as people of the book? Is the Berean Seventh-day Adventist Church known in this community as people who are people of the book? Do your utmost to lift up the Word of God and make us champions for God's Word. I urge all of you to participate in the daily Bible and Spirit of Prophecy reading program of Believe His Prophets. I do. In fact, this morning's chapter was Numbers chapter 16. An incredible story about Korah and Dathan and the others who rebelled against God. We don't have time to go into that. Some time ago, I passed a church sign not far from our home. And on that sign, it said, "Dusty Bibles lead to dirty lives." In our busy routines of life, have our Bibles become dusty? Have we forgotten our roots as people of the book, proclaiming the great last Advent movement message? You know, Acts 17, verses 10 and 11, talk about you. It talks about the Bereans. How fitting that we should be worshiping today, number of us who don't normally worship here, in the Berean Seventh-day Adventist Church. You know, in Acts 17, verse 10, it says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble," verse 11, "than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." Now, many of the Jewish Thessalonians were jealous of Paul and Silas, the popularity with the people that Paul and Silas had, and they were not willing to dig deeply into the Word and allow the gospel to transform their lives. Instead, they joined in a rebellious group and succeeded in putting the city of Thessalonica into a great uproar. In order to avoid further strife and violence, the believers sent Paul and Silas at nighttime to Berea. And there they found open-minded and kind Jews. Church members here in Berean, are you open-minded and kind? What I've seen is you are. And I praise God for that. And those Bereans dug into the scriptures to prove whether or not what Paul and Silas were saying was really right. The truth became real to them. Acts of the Apostles, pages 231 to 232, says, "Daily they searched the inspired records, and as they compared Scripture with Scripture, heavenly angels were beside them, enlightening their minds and impressing their hearts." When you study God's Word and invite God to lead you, heavenly angels will be by your side and my side. We're living in the Laodicean last day period. And Christianity is many times very, very superficial. The devil will try everything to distract you and me from the Bible and the truth. Every possible means will be used. Recreation, media, amusements, work, music, disagreements and internal fighting, false teachings, family discord, economic problems, anything that will take you away from God's holy word. Another great danger we face in keeping us from digging into the Word like the Bereans, like you, is that we're living in an age of experiential religion. People claim that you have to feel the Spirit. Religion must be experienced to be real. Now, there's nothing wrong in having emotion, but it has to be balanced. Emotionalism and feeling are taking over much of the religious world. The Word of God is not valued as highly as how you feel about things. Emphasis is placed more on feeling, like the Thessalonians did, rather than on searching the Scriptures like the Bereans did. Now we read in the book Spirit of Prophecy, volume 1, page 89, "In the last days the earth will be..." This is really interesting. "The last days the earth will be almost destitute of true faith." Here we are worshiping in religious freedom in the United States. Praise God. We are involved in an experience and a worship atmosphere focusing upon the Word of God. And by God's grace, we all are together on the Word of God. But the time will come when the earth will be almost destitute of true faith. Upon them, and I continue, "Upon the merest pretense, the Word of God will be considered unreliable, while human reasoning will be received, though it be in opposition to the plain Scripture facts." End quote. Feelings can lie, but truth is based on the authority of Scripture. God's Word never lies. There are physical and mental benefits from studying the Bible, and eternal values as opposed to spending time on trivial things. Councils on Sabbath School Work, pages 22 to 23, read, "Thousands are today in the insane asylum whose minds became unbalanced by novel reading, which results in love-sick sentimentalism. The Bible is the book of books. It will give you life and health. It is a soother of the nerves and imparts solidarity of mind and firm principle. My late father-in-law, a wonderful gentleman, Dr. Don Vollmer, practiced medicine, internal medicine in Asheville, North Carolina. He had a patient, Phil Collins, who was a retired attorney and civil servant. As a young man, Mr. Collins had taken his law degree with J. Edgar Hoover. In his retirement, Mr. Collins came to my father-in-law and asked what he could do to prevent mental deterioration. He told him that the best way to keep his mind sharp was to read the Bible. So Uncle Phil, as he became known to the Vollmer family, did just that, and he read himself into the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He became a close friend and a faithful church member. His mind stayed alert and sharp almost to the end when he died in his early 90s. We've just honored those who are in their 90s or so. God will keep our minds sharp as we stay close to the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is like a hidden treasure that keeps blessing the believer who digs deeper and deeper. Matthew 13, verse 44, Christ shared the parable of the hidden treasure. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. I have a number of quotations which I will not read because of time, but Christ's Object Lessons says some marvelous things. It tells us on page 100, the scriptures are the great agency in the transformation of character. If studied and obeyed, the Word of God works in the heart, subduing every unholy attribute. You see, the Bible is God's great lesson book. Another quotation, his great educator. The foundation of all true science is contained in the Bible. Every branch of knowledge may be found by searching the Word of God. And above all else, it contains the science of all sciences, the science of salvation. The Bible is the mine of the unsearchable riches of Christ. The well-noted author in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Arthur S. Maxwell, who died many years ago, recounted the story of a rich farmer in ancient Greece who on his deathbed said to his sons, "My treasure is buried in my fields. If you want to be rich, dig for it." After the father's death, his two sons thought their father had hidden his money in a treasure box somewhere on his farm, and they set out to find it. They dug with great enthusiasm, but seemingly without success. They turned over the soil in every one of the farm's fields, every corner digging to a depth that no plow had ever reached, but with no sign of the treasure chest. Well, springtime came, and the search ended so that those fields could be planted with corn. Summer came, and what a harvest they had. In digging the land so thoroughly, the sons had achieved the riches they had been looking for. Their wise father's plan had succeeded. We have inherited a precious fortune. It is not buried in a field, but in the Bible. As the Bereans, and how appropriate, we're in Berean SDA Church. As the Bereans did, scholars, leaders, pastors, church members, we need to search the Bible, digging into it with all the spiritual tools we have, and we will find the true treasure. For the Word of God brings us face to face with the greatest treasure, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Bible reveals that salvation is only possible through complete reliance on Christ, His life, His death, His resurrection, His current ministry for us in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. As Seventh-day Adventists, it is important how we read God's Word, since it will help us to know what is truth and what is error. It will help us to know that we serve a God who will never fail and whose church will be triumphant against the attacks of the devil. The church will be deluged with apostasies and false doctrine, but the Word of God stands sure. Selected Messages, Book 2, pages 392 and 394. We are living in the perils of the last days. A superficial faith results in a superficial experience. All should see the necessity of understanding the truth for themselves individually. There is great need to search the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. We have a lot of scholars here who do that. Each of us need to do that. And learn the text thoroughly. Apostasies, and this is continuing, apostasies have occurred, and the Lord has permitted matters of this nature to develop in the past in order to show how easily His people will be misled when they depend upon the words of men instead of searching the Scriptures for themselves, as did the noble Bereans, to see if these things are so. As we leave this church today, may all of us, even though we may not be specific members of this Berean Seventh-day Adventist Church, may we all be Bereans in the name of the Lord. May we go forward searching the Scriptures. It's recounted in literature that in the year 360, Flavius Claudius Julianus, or better known as Julian, ascended the throne as Caesar. He was the nephew of Constantine the Great, who Christianized, so to speak, the Roman world. Julian sought to reestablish pagan worship in the empire and was thereafter known as the apostate. Julian openly began to persecute Christians, whom he called Galileans, and he withdrew the legal protection that had been granted them by his uncle, Constantine the Great. Interestingly, he had been educated in Athens with a committed Christian by the name of Agathon. Although Julian persecuted Christians, he invited his friend Agathon to serve in his court. Julian frequently teased his Christian friend. And one day, in front of a group of people, he said, "Agathon, how is your carpenter of Nazareth? Is he finding work these days?" And Agathon smiled and answered, "He is perhaps taking time away from building mansions for the faithful to build a coffin for your empire." Less than 2 years later, on June 26, specifically, June 26, the year 363, Julian lay dying with a Persian arrow in his chest. He had led his troops in an attempt to take the ancient Persian Empire. Julian reached and grasped a handful of dust that was mingled with his own blood. Throwing the dirt into the air, he uttered in Latin his last words, "Desisti Galilei," meaning, "You have conquered, Galilean." The Roman Empire crumbled, but the eternal empire of Jesus lives on and will culminate with His glorious second coming. The Lord wants each of us to be champions of His truth, lifting up His truth in a distinctive and in a powerful way. By God's grace, let's champion the Word of God. Let's lift up Christ, who is the Word. Let's make the Bible come alive and make it the foundation of our belief. We're facing a battle, and we must know what we believe. Some years ago, during the time of the Sandinistas in Nicaragua, a pastor and a church elder were going up into the remote mountain areas to minister to Seventh-day Adventists. In the back seat of the car, they had some signs of the times and some Bibles. They were stopped by an officer and 120 Sandinista soldiers. They were ordered to get out of the car. The officer searched the car and brought out a Bible and a hymnal. He asked, "Where are you going?" And the pastor replied, but the officer said, "I don't believe you. You're just spies." You see, spies had to dig their own graves and were shot on sight. The officer went through the hymnal. Choir, this is especially for you. He got to the hymnal and he says, do you know this song, Take My Life and Let It Be? You know that song? He said, yes, sir, we know that song. Well, okay, then sing it. The pastor and the church elder sang a duet. I don't know if they could sing very well, but they sang a duet and it touched the hearts of the Sandinista soldiers. The officer went through the Bible and he came to Psalm 91. He says, Pastor, do you know this psalm? Yes, sir, I do. Well, repeat it. I don't think I could repeat Psalm 91 verbatim standing before you. Could you? But the Lord guided our pastor and he repeated that beautiful psalm, God's great protection. The officer was impressed and almost persuaded, but he still had doubts. He picked out more chapters like John 14 and 1 Corinthians 13, asking the pastor about them. And then finally he came to Matthew chapter 4. And when he came to Matthew chapter 4, he said, you know this story? Yes, sir, I do, the pastor said. Well, preach us a sermon. And so that pastor, for the next 15, 20 minutes, preached his heart out to those soldiers and that officer. And then at the end, he made a heart-searching appeal. He said, Christ didn't finish the story with the disciples. He wants all to follow him. The pastor made an appeal to the soldiers to follow Christ. The hardened soldiers' eyes were moist. After the pastor finished, the officer said, I fully believe who you say you are. If you hadn't been able to prove it, we would have killed you. The officer confessed that he was once a Christian and believed the Bible, but he lost his faith. He said, I admire you, and whenever you need to go up into the mountains, you contact me, and I will send soldiers to go with you since it is dangerous. My friends, here in Berean, whether you're a scholar, whether you're a leader, whether you're a church member with no office, whether you're an educator, whether you are a teacher, whoever you are, it pays to know your Bible and to know what you believe. Your Bible in your hand holds God's messages for you and for the entire earth. It is your one true foundation and sure word as we face the uncertainty of the future. Jesus is coming soon. Today I challenge you to be a Berean, to search the Scriptures daily, to know the Word, to cherish it, to read it, to believe it, to love it, to share it. Allow the Bible to live in your life. As Seventh-day Adventists and part of God's great Advent movement, let us overcome the Laodicean crisis by hiding God's Word in our hearts, being people of the book, and sharing this precious message with others. As we see the end of time approaching, let's renew our efforts to be involved in all that God intends for His remnant church to be. Every member involved in lifting up and sharing Christ, His Word, His righteousness, His sanctuary message, His saving power. Let the Lord be seen in you, the culmination of His redemptive work, using every willing follower to reach the world. And what a marvelous result to Christ's work of righteousness through us in participating with heaven in sharing the Advent message. The latter rain of the Holy Spirit is approaching, and with it the great proclamation to every person on the face of the earth in anticipation of Christ's soon return. By God's grace, let's be part of it. If you wish to commit yourself right now to being truly a Berean, to lifting up Christ, the living Word, to studying God's written word, to make it your foundation of belief, to proclaiming God's last day three angels messages, and to using every possible evangelistic means in total member involvement, if you commit yourself to that great and wonderful objective through the power of the Holy Spirit, would you join me in standing right now? Amen. I urge you to sing as a commitment to studying God's Word and to being in that wonderful hymn, Wonderful Words of Life.